The Colcliffs on RNIB Connect Radio.
Sleeping Beauty. I was going to see if I could find a frog out the back.
Oh, a frog?
Ah, I sent him up to give you a shake. It was a frog that woke the Sleeping Beauty, wasn't it? Or have I got the wrong teal?
Oh, they said some daft things. But I want to swap thee. Mm. Oh, there'll not be many wives around Brindley Bank getting the breakfasts made for them.
I will. Unless I can find some odd jobs, there's the worker and it's me for the penny.
Oh, I was that tired. I could have slept till noon. Oh, it's been a right week. Still, at least Brindley Potts keeps going, which is a miracle given the state of the place and the state of the economy.
There you are. Orange juice, bacon, toast, all cooked according to the health experts.
Oh, you've not cooked the orange juice, eh?
Just want christening with his teapot, eh? Hey, eat up. That's what they used to say to me when I was facing a day down the pit.
Mm, I can quote thee and all. Watch them pennies. Dunna go mad down that supermarket.
Oh, crikey, dunna remind me. Shopping, then on top of that, I trek up Lomore, see how Neville's faring.
Oh, I'm worried that Cheryl's going to lose her job.
Well, Neville can't be left on his own state he's in. I mean, Connie's doing her best and I'm always on tap.
Oh, I know Cheryl asked nursing, but Critchlow's starting dropping in. You know what these little tinpot bosses are like?
Lad's had a nervous breakdown. He'll need time. And no way can he be left in charge of that nipper.
I know. So it's up to us. I mean, Cheryl needs that wage. It's up to all of us.
Basically, Neville, your problem is a condition we call stress. Its causes are generally in the mind, but the effects, indeed some of the symptoms, can be physical. Loss of energy, loss of appetite, general sense of depression.
In other words, Doctor, I'm a basket case.
No, by no means, Neville, not at all. It's a matter of your level of tolerance to the demands life makes.
I can't cope. Cheryl copes. Even little Nev copes. I can't.
Well, people do make different degrees of demand on themselves. And in their circumstances. Some people accept the status quo, others don't.
Oh, that's right. Instead of minding their own business, they run around poking their noses in.
Well, I think that's taking self-criticism a bit far. But if it helps to talk, Neville, I have the time, to an extent. Plus, there are groups I can put you in touch with. The Samaritans, for instance.
I'm not contemplating suicide.
You don't have to be. They'll listen. Sometimes that's all you need, somebody to listen. It helps you to get things in perspective, think clearly.
I think too much. I go out of my head thinking. I need someone to calm me down, I suppose.
Sedation is only a short-term solution. We must get to the root of your anxieties. I could recommend psychiatric treatment, but for the moment... Well, if you want to talk, I can listen. Well?
I got involved with a family. A young mother. A baby boy. Amira and Nerjay. I got to know them through Damien. Amira's his auntie. Damien and his parents live near to where Mark, my brother-in-law, has one of his properties. He rents them out. He's making a business of it.
Students, Gavin. Four of them. Cost me a cooker, a few sticks of furniture I bought second-hand. Now, really, and what I'll be making in a week.
So, yeah, I've got it cracked. Still pity about the squatters.
Your wheeze wasn't on, mate.
It was worth a try. If Shade Estate put in that house down Jubilee Terrace, I'd have got it for buttons.
Dicey business in my book.
Come off it, Mark. Yeah, we're biting. If things had worked out, you'd have grabbed that backhander I offered.
No way.
Oh, you'd have been a mug not to. It was a smart move.
It stank to high heaven. You bribed me to refuse her the tenancy I promised. You bribe her to keep the squat going. With the squatter installed, the house sells dirt cheap. Once you've clinched the sale, you tip her out illegally and sell it at profit. She's back on the streets and your quid's in.
You're on the ball. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Dirty pool,
Market
Gav.
Market forces and you were tempted.
No, I'd have kept my word.
Baloney. No disrespect, Squire, but you only kept your word because your mum laid the law down.
Suit yourself.
Look, let's not argue. These are fine points. I understand. I too have a mother. Father unknown, but I do have a mother. I look after her. Shay fetched me up and I've armage money. Shay goes short of nothing. Let's face it, cash-wise, we're in a good racket, may and they.
Racket?
Talking loosely, old boy. Okay, we're operating in an area of need. Okay, you have to take a humane attitude, but the opportunities are there if you know the ropes.
Granted.
Yeah, I've got pushmark. Something drives you. I like to think I have. We'd make a good team, what do you reckon?
I'm flattered.
Okay, kiddo, let's cut the PR. Lads like us, with push, can make a fair few bob if we play our cards right. Don't pull your face, just listen. License to rent, for instance. Some poor unfortunate can't meet the mortgage. We get them to sign a license for us as agents to rent out on their behalf. Shove them in a bedsitter, take on their mortgage commitments and rent out at a considerable profit.
No thanks.
It's all perfectly legal.
I'm not listening. If I'm in this business of supplying a need, a basic need, then I'll supply it at a fair price. But I'll not exploit people who are desperate. I'll do what I want to do. Short-term tenancies. But I'll do it straight. No hard feelings, Gav. But as far as partnership goes, I'm sorry. You work your side of the street and I'll work mine.
Seems so easy to help. Amira was desperate. I suppose this man she'd married was desperate. His violence was a form of desperation.
It often is.
I knew the house next door to my mother-in-law's was empty. I knew Rini had a key. For people who might want a view. I took it. Amira had a refuge.
But the husband found her.
Yes, he did. He told her he was sorry. He'd be different. He had a house. And she went with him. I couldn't believe it.
You started to care for her?
Yes. Yeah. I have. He called me a dirty little creep. And then she called it me too. He slapped me and took hold of my nose and squeezed it. And the child. Little Mirjay. I tickled him. I suppose he thought we were playing.
That's a bit of change, Raymond. How's Jade been? No charaloads rushing in, thirsting for drink, I don't suppose.
Four pints to the crib, Skill. And old Mrs. Burns from that smoke hold thar calls a snug fetched her Guinness back 9/10 supped and reckoned there were a fly in it. Oh. I told her to pull the other one.
That crafty old beggar she is. And getting worse. Last week it were a tadpole. It's a wonder she done a bring a fishing rod in.
Well, if you can manage now, I'd best be off. I weren't a planning on doing a bar stint today.
Aye. Hey, before they goes, while I remember, they were a pal of thine asking after the last night.
Oh, aye.
Jed Cartledge.
Him? He's hardly a pal. He's a relation of Connie's on her husband's side.
Yeah, he follows your trade, though, doesn't he?
In a fashion. He works on his own. Nobody else would employ him. Just does what bits and bobs he can pick up. He never served his time. He thinks Ohm's law is something to do with councilises.
Inner it, then?
Yes, it echoes like it's basic electrical theory. The Sparks has done know that, knows nout. Yeah, it's deadly. A codger like Jed doing electrical work in folks' eyes. Only gets jobs because he's cheap and he can talk a blue streak.
He seems likeable enough, though.
Personally, I don't mind him. Bit on the flash side, the noost. Fancies him send with the ladies. Wires a cooker and 9 months later he's doing a baby alarm.
Hey, yup. That's going green.
No wonder supping thy ale.
Supping ale? They're supposed to be pulling it. I told Jed that he, you know, he'd do me an hour or two. Well, he says if he's fit enough for bar work, I could maybe find something for him in an electrical line.
Oh, that a fact?
Mind, I dunno suppose you'd be interested, thinking as there does of him.
Well, I dunno. I ain't seen much of Jed in recent times. He could have improved. What art grinning at?
Grinning? It must be where I'm standing.
Where's the salt and pepper?
There.
Oh. Well, it's nearly 6:30. I can't think what's keeping your dad. Well, I suppose we'd better get started while it's all warm.
I vote for that. I'm starving. It's gracious living is this, Mum. I've forgotten what a knife and fork look like. And as for a tablecloth. And your actual plates. What do you think, little brother?
Very nice. Mind, I do miss the butler. And, of course, the postprandial sherry.
Oh, what rubbish. Crinewick candelabra, Mum.
Well, I'm glad you're both in such a good humour. Life must be wonderful. Properties to rent, shops being set up, plus all the comforts of home. Oh, this sounds like your dad at long last. Table set, Ray. Food's going cold.
Wanna be a tick, Reed. Sorry I'm late. I popped in for Jolly Potter's and Wolf roped me in for an hour. Then I had some business come up unexpected-like.
Oh, that means the bowling green's been getting some hammer. Now, where was I?
Oh, you know, telling us what wonderful kids we were, expressing your pride in our spirit of enterprise.
On the point, it appeared of proposing a toast to our future success and to the good health of real family feeling.
Family feeling? Well, I know I'm being sent off.
In the nicest possible way.
But I'm glad you used that word, because it's summat I shall be expecting you to show. Families aren't just a cushion, you know, to fall back on. Not all of us are having a good time. Our Cheryl, for one. Well, Nev's not fit to be left with the child, and Connie can't have him every day. So you are, Wendy, despite your shop, and you are, Mark, despite your property, we'll have to show willing.
Hello. Not battle stations already, is it? Hey, do I need me tin hat? Am I entering a war zone?
I'm just making sure things start as I intend they shall go on. Got me, you pair?
Hold your fire, Mum. Our hands are up.
We surrender.
Evening, Reenie, me duck. Left the big chief a do, must he?
No, he's in the snug there. That old lady as occupies the place wanted a word with him.
Florrie Burns? You'll not get away this side of clues in time.
Oh, I weren't going in. I'd have needed a gas mask.
Tell thee, once her starts one of her sagas, when her's not complaining about foreign bodies and her drink, she's giving you a full history of her ailments from year dot.
Oh, I know her from the clinic. Drinks like a fish, smokes like a chimney, and then wonders why he's got bad circulation.
Ray's usual, I reckon. And what's your pleasure?
Oh, I'll have a slimline tonic.
Coming up. How's him at Potbank treating you these days? Critchlow.
Treating us? Oh, that'll be the day.
Yeah. I hear he's having all electric seen to.
The electrics? At Brindley Potts?
Oh, aye. A relative of yours is getting contract, I believe. Jed Cartledge.
What? That clown? Over my dead body, are you sure?
I had it from Critchlow himself. He often pops in for a swift half after a trying day keeping you lot in order.
Well, if that's Jen, I'll be in his office breathing fire first thing tomorrow. Jed Cartley's the very idea. The man hasn't got a clue about Potbank electrics or aught else, according to Ray.
Here, they say he knows a fair bit about knicker elastic.
Ray, have you heard this?
What?
Will threatens Critchlow's taking Jed Cartley, John.
Happen he'll have a mate.
A mate? Who'd work for him? Not a tradesman, I'll tell you, unless he was desperate.
Nay.
Desperate and daft. And you'd say so yourself.
Nay, I'd not be that dogmatic.
Best tell her, hadn't he?
Tell me what?
Well, this mate...
Do you know him?
Quite well. It's me.
You?
Still be in that office breathing fire, will the duck?
Today's episode of The Cold Cloths was written and devised by Tony Perrin. The serial was created and produced independently by Mike Hotwood.
The Cold Cloths return with another episode on Monday.